Hey everybody, Michael Zune here with Game Changers for Government Contractors. And today I've got David with me. David, before we jump in and talk all the Wild West things that are going on in cybersecurity, why don't you take a minute, tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Michael, I appreciate that. Glad to be here on your podcast. My name is David Panzer. I'm an attorney with a boutique firm in Tyson's Corner called Fluit. Fluit is a firm that focuses on contractors in the national security space, aerospace, defense, and intelligence.
Awesome. We are going to be talking about the government's enforcement of cybersecurity requirements. I think one of the things that a lot of people have been talking about is just cybersecurity, CMMC, and we keep going through that. In fact, it feels like the movie Groundhog Day a little bit. I say a little bit. It's really the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years has felt like Groundhog Day, where every spring they're like, this is coming this summer. And as we get out of the spring, they're like, no, it's not. Maybe next summer. They've been doing this for years. It really feels like we're on just this treadmill where it's never going to stop and it's never going to get enforced. But there have been some significant changes in 2023 that look like we're finally going to crack down and do some things here. So today we're going to talk about the enforcement side of that and a few other things. For those that are new to this topic, I'd like to start a little bit about what are the cybersecurity regulations, how do those actually impact contractors, things like that. But for your benefit, because we didn't talk about this before the show here, I think you might be amazed, maybe not given what you do, how many people that we talk to that have never even heard of CMMC or that there is any sort of requirement to lock down data or anything like that. It is actually staggering. There's an intake process with new clients, and that is one of the questions. And probably 9 times out of 10, they answer, never heard of this. Don't know anything about it. That's a little intriguing. So for those folks that are listening to this thinking, what are these guys even going to talk about? Why don't you give them a little bit of insight onto what cybersecurity is in just basic terms?
Sure. So one of the things that I find fascinating about cybersecurity is that many of the steps that contractors are required to take are not actually all that technical. So as we're talking about cybersecurity, there are a few sets of regulations that require contractors to do various things. From a high level, the government is focused on information that contractors have at different levels. At a very basic level, there's it's called federal contracting information. There's information that a contractor has just because they're a government contractor. And the stuff might not be classified, it might not be controlled unclassified information, but it's still not public information. And so at the most basic level, there's a provision of the FAR that requires a certain safeguarding of that kind of information. As you move up the chain, in the defense space, there's a DFAR provision that specifically addresses how to protect controlled unclassified information. And there you get into some documents put out by the NIST that are very long and complicated, and they have a whole host of metrics that folks have to hit. That's for that level, where if you're a contractor, you're receiving government information and it's going to be residing somewhere on your system. These are all the different things that you have to do to protect it. And then if there's an even higher level of information that the contractor is going to have, or you're in a space where the contractor is somewhat vulnerable, there are additional obligations that are placed on contractors. And let me just take an even broader step back. One of the challenges with cybersecurity is that there are nation state attacks happening against the U.S., but they're not just against U.S. government systems. They're against companies that hold U.S. information. And so from a federal government standpoint, from a national security standpoint, a lot of what cybersecurity is about is how do you defend the U.S. interests where information about that interest may reside not just on U.S. government computers, but company computers and potentially company computers that are accessed by people working at home all around the country.
You bring up a good point, because I think a lot of people believe that I'm a janitorial company. What information am I going to have access to? I've been in buildings that don't exist on Google Maps or anywhere. If you have that address of a building, that could be all somebody needs to know. Ah, there's a secret facility or a facility that's not so secret. Everybody can see it from the road, but they didn't know it was a government facility because it's not listed somewhere or whatever. So it could be an address, could be as simple as the secured information there. People think I'm not in the tech space and this doesn't apply to me, but it really does apply. So speaking of that, just after Christmas last year in 2023, there were some proposed new rules for CMMC. Could you talk about two things there? One, what CMMC is for people that don't know what that is, and then maybe a little bit about what those new rules mean and what's coming.
At the end of the last year, the DoD issued the next version of CMMC, and it, the acronym stands for Cybersecurity Maturity Model. Essentially, what DoD is trying to do is take the various obligations for cybersecurity and make them all equal across, across the various government agencies. And as we were describing earlier, there are a couple of different levels of information that are protected. And depending at what level of information the contractor has, they're going to have a certain level of compliance that they need to meet. So if they just have information at basic level, they're going to be a CMMC level one. And if they move up and have the controlled unclassified information, they're going to be a CMC level two. And again, if they have an even higher level of information, they'll be CMMC level three. In the first iteration of CMMC, which came out a few years ago, I believe there were five levels at that point, and there were different things that contractors would have to do to earn those levels. And so what's going to happen is ultimately contracts are going to be let with different cybersecurity requirements. And if you want to be able to bid on that contract as a prime, or even you want to get a subcontract for a contract that has one of these CMMC levels, you're going to have to meet certain thresholds. And at the most basic threshold, your company's going to be able to do a self-attestation. They're going to be able to demonstrate or make a certification that they meet certain requirements. At a higher level, there are going to be third parties that come in and do those checks. And at an even higher level, the government's going to come in and do those checks. At this stage, sitting here on February 20th, we're still within the notice and comment period for the latest CMMC rules that will drop at the end of 2023. But it looks like some version of this is going to be moving forward. In some ways, all of this is in full effect. Talked about, it seems like Groundhog Day, things are coming. But there really is a big difference between where we are today in 2024 and where we are, say, in 2019. The first real cybersecurity rule was imposed on contractors was, I believe it was Section 889 out of the National Defense Authorization Act. I think that was enforced in 2019 and maybe 2020. And that was what dealt with the Huawei equipment. So the government is concerned that there's going to be vulnerabilities for contractors that or the government using Chinese technology, and that was going to be a backdoor to getting information. And the first phase of that rule was to say that no government systems could have that information. And then later, by 2020, contractors had to certify that they also were not using that banned technology in their own systems that were supporting the government. And at the time, certainly folks were aware of cybersecurity. But if you were doing a diligence check, if you were going to buy a government contractor, you might have one question to that contractor about, are you compliant with cybersecurity regulations? Or do you have a cybersecurity compliance plan? Yes or no? And certainly since then, as see potentially was going to roll out and the government has identified more details about what it expects from folks to have a compliant system, I think at this stage, we know what is expected from the government. We might not know the details. There might be certain technologies that are going to be changed. There might be different timeframes when we have to report a security incident. It might have to be reported one place versus another. But generally speaking, we now live in a world in which there are expectations that we have cybersecurity measures in place and that we have a compliance regime built around. What's interesting about that is this is not a situation where there's a carrot and stick approach. This is a situation, in my view, where there's only multiple sticks. So back in October of 2021, DOJ issued what they call the Civil Cyber Fraud Initiative. And what we heard then is that the Civil Division of DOJ was going to begin prosecuting under the False Claims Act violations of cybersecurity requirements. And there haven't been too many cases, but I'm happy to talk about the cases that have come up since then. Not long after, DOD took a slightly different approach, and there was a memo issued, got it here, in the 2022 timeframe, was June of 2022. And there, DOD was explaining that essentially, if you fail to comply with cybersecurity, all contract measures are available, including termination, included a default termination, which, you know, as you may know, is the death knell for government contractors. What are the consequences of non-compliance? About as bad as they can be for a contractor. Having to defend a DOJ False Claims Act investigation is enough to put most contractors out of business. In my view, all of these regulations provide great discretion for the government. And it's hard to know what compliance is, right? The FAR provisions, DFAR provisions talk about adequate security. And then the government tells you, at a minimum, these are some concepts to look at. At the end of the day, the measure is not whether contractor has any information lost, because you'll see indications in some of the False Claims Act settlements that there was actually no information lost. Question is there perfect security? The question is, in the view of, is a compliance program sufficient? One of the best ways to look at that, recently in, I think it was January of this year, DOJ issued guidance on their voluntary disclosure program. And at the back of that, they talk about what a full compliance program looks like. And that's across the board. It's not specific to cybersecurity. But at the end of the day, that's a good place to look. If you're looking for what does compliance mean, in my mind, the real question is, what does compliance mean in the mind of DOJ when they might come after you? One of the things that we saw back in May of 2021, when the White House issued an executive order to improve the nation's cybersecurity, one of the main focuses was on the supply chain. The FAR provision, DFARS provision, is not only are these contract provisions imposed on primes, but they have to continue to flow down into subcontracts. Part of what a contractor needs to do is look all the way down their supply chain to make sure that any subcontractor that is touching the U.S. government systems, or that is receiving that government information, all has all of those provisions in place. And you'll see as new clauses are written, there's a real focus on certifications by the prime, and then additional certifications down the line. One way in which being in a foreign country poses challenges, one of the things, and it tied this back to the issue of a voluntary disclosure or compliance from the DOJ standpoint, one of the things one has to do to get full cooperation credit where there has been an issue and you're trying to make disclosure with DOJ is to make sure that you're providing all information about all individuals in a timely way, including all documents. And in other places around the world, there may be different data privacy laws in place. There may be other burdens on sharing documents. All of that are challenges that have to be resolved, because if you want to get the benefit of cooperating with the government, you've got to make sure that you provide all information and address whatever challenges you have to providing that information based on being in another country. So there are two aspects of the question, both the supply chain piece and the maybe the interplay of foreign laws.
Obviously, you can't look into the crystal ball and know for sure, but what are your thoughts on where this is going to evolve over the next 12 to 24 months?
I don't know how much the technical requirements are going to change, but I don't think the technical requirements changing matters, at least from an enforcement standpoint. So one of the things that frightened me a lot, in July of 2022, DOJ issued a report on cyber. And one of the things that Simonico described in that report was that for all new contract provisions, both at DOJ and then ultimately writ large for the government, the folks at DOJ civil fraud should be having a role in those cybersecurity requirements, so that those requirements would be, quote unquote, enforceable as DOJ moves forward in its civil cyber fraud initiative. And when they say enforceable, I don't think that the Department of Justice is talking about being able to come back at a contractor for non-compliance with contract. What they're talking about is essentially putting a contractor on the hook for whatever certification that they're making as required by a contract. And then you fail to meet those contract requirements, you are now in danger of a False Claims Act case, which involves statutory penalties. It involves shifting of attorney's fees. It involves treble damages, potentially treble damages for the entire value of the contract you've been awarded if your contract award was somehow predicated on a notion that you met certain cyber requirements and the government decides you did not. Because of all that, and there's so much discretion in the government deciding what compliance is, again, I'd be less concerned about the technical aspects of what particular clause requires a contractor to do what, and be more focused on the overall cybersecurity compliance regime and making sure that whatever those requirements are, they are tested appropriately. The compliance program has senior enough folks invested in it, that those people have the appropriate reporting up to a significantly high level within the company or the board. All the hallmarks of a fulsome compliance regime. From the CIO, CTO standpoint, the real question is, what information does your company have? And do you have control of it? How are you protecting it? And that's important whether you're talking about a company's trade secrets. It's important whether you are talking about having controlled unclassified information. It's important whether you're talking about maybe you have a personally identifiable information of your own employees, right? So you have to know what information you have and how it's being stored. You're never going to be in a position where you can appropriately give a certification that information is being protected if you don't know what you have and you don't know where it is. So as a CIO, CTO, that's the very first thing that I would be concerned about. As the CEO, I suppose the thing I would be most concerned about is making sure that the board understands the seriousness with which the government is taking these cybersecurity issues and making sure that the company's compliance plan and organization is appropriately funded and appropriately supported. If cybersecurity was an afterthought back in 2018, 2019, it can't be an afterthought now. And the government certainly is not looking at it as an afterthought. And just, you know, if I could just very quickly return to the False Claims Act point along these lines, the reason that the DOJ is so focused on maybe changing some of these clauses is what the government is trying to say is that cybersecurity compliance is material to your performance of a government contract. So it's not just folks that are building rocket ships that have to have cybersecurity, right? It could be folks that just have personally identifiable information or health information of somebody in the public, and that is not secured appropriately. DOJ is going to come after you on a False Claims Act basis for not handling that information. So the government can't emphasize enough that this is a material part of being a government contractor. And while parties may disagree about that, that certainly seems to be the government's position. And as CEO, I would want to make sure that my senior management, my board, my compliance department all understood that.
We'll have all your contact information published with the podcast. So if people have questions or want to follow up with this, because people may see this episode 3 years from now. Thank you again for coming on and talking about all this. I really appreciate it, Dave.
Michael, it's my pleasure. And your guidance to think about these things from the outset is hugely important. And I know we're out of time, but I'll throw out one teaser. It is these compliance issues, the cybersecurity issues are so important. Even when you begin with looking at your companies, you bring my own device policy. That will have implications down the road when you have a cybersecurity event or you have some other voluntary disclosure. And it really is important to talk to somebody like you that could really help a company understand the small steps it takes at the beginning will have an outsized impact on how they handle problems when they arise down the line. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today.
I really hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe to the podcast and screenshot it and tag me on LinkedIn or whatever social media you use. So thank you again for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.